right, everybody. Today on the Epic Phelan Podcast, we have with us John William Wade. Now, John William Wade is a realtor here in Calgary, but he is also a business broker, and he is running for council for Wardup. Welcome, John.
Hi. Well, I mean, I appreciate you wanting to interview me. It's interesting because we're going through some big changes here, and you know, for myself personally, and then also Calgary. And so it's kind of interesting to be able to talk to just regular people about what it's like to even run for a city council, right? It's not something that you usually get to talk about. This is my first time. So it's a big, steep learning curve.
I think for even the average Joe, even knowing who your city council is, I think so this would be a really good episode, kind of show people and showcase what an alderman does or what city council does and how you could even maybe approach your city council to get some things done, or, you know, just follow them even to see what's happening in your city and in your ward.
It's funny because I've got two younger sons, and one is 9 and one is 7. They both know that I'm running for something. My youngest says, "Oh, Dada, you're going to be the president." I'm like, not quite like that, but okay. So they understand I'm running for something. They don't quite really understand exactly what it is. But it's funny because I'll talk to adults and it's almost the same thing.
It really is. It's like, so does that, so are you a conservative or liberal? You know, where it's a nonpartisan position, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, the same with my American family. My American family said, "Oh, like, so which party are you with?" Because in the United States, even if you're running as a judge, you still are either Republican or you're Democrat. Here, there is no party politics when it comes to civic elections. That starts at the provincial and federal level. So here we're just, you know, I mean, it was always meant to be regular people serving regular people here in Calgary. Unfortunately, some of that has been getting a little bit tampered with because we've had some people who have stayed on council now for 20 years. And I don't think you're really regular Joes anymore when you've been in city council for 20 years. Your ideas either get stale or you become somewhat so reliant on other people and you owe so many favors that, you know, I don't think you're necessary. You're more of a professional politician rather than just a civic person doing their duty for their area here.
What is driving you to run for Ward 9?
Well, first of all, let's define what Ward 9 is. Ward 9 is East Calgary. So it starts, there's a little piece of it that goes up north to Renfrew, then comes down to Bridgeland, then into Inglewood, and then Ramsey. Then it sweeps all the way across 9th Avenue, so eastbound, and then 17th Avenue. So you got all Forest Lawn, Southview, Radisson Heights, right to Applewood. And then now there's even a new neighborhood called Belvedere that's now part of it. Then it goes all the way down the Ring Road to Glenmore Trail. And so it's kind of boxed in by Memorial Drive, the Ring Road, Glenmore Trail, and then McLeod Trail on the west side. So it's huge and it encompasses a really big variety of neighborhoods. So you've got the inner city where there's a lot of new homes being constructed by tearing down old homes in Renfrew and Inglewood. Then you've got the eclectic neighborhood of Ramsey, which has always been kind of more of an artsy type of neighborhood. And then you get into where all the immigrants are, and that's over in Forest Lawn area. So you have all the new to Canada people over there. You're going on to more industrial areas like the Golden Triangle or Ogden, Linwood, you know, kind of more of the, you know, the blue collar industrial area. So I don't think there's really a theme about the area. So for me, I've been on the International Avenue BRZ Board of Directors. Now, BRZ means Business Revitalization Zone. I've been on that board now for 9 years. Volunteering my time, and it's because I do business brokering and commercial real estate in the area. And finally, we started asking me, "Why are we butting heads with your clients all the time?" And I said, "Well, yeah, because you guys are crazy people. You know, you think that Forest Lawn and this whole area is so beautiful." And so they said, "Well, what if we could show you the plans of where we want to go? And, you can reflect back to us where you guys, where the investor thinks you are, where we are right now. And then maybe we can start to bridge that gap and you can start to play the role of get that word out to other realtors and business people so that we can start attracting what we really need. So that's kind of the role I've been playing on the board for the last 9 years. So in about 7 of those 9 years, we've done quite well. We redid all of 17th Avenue, spent $180 million renovating the street, putting that purple line BRT in, all those beautiful things that you see. Remember, I mean, I don't know if you recall, but there used to be a trailer park called the Vagabond Trailer Park. That was a very rough trailer park that if you, basically, if your toilet stopped working, you throw it out the front door and wherever it landed, it landed. And what a lot of people don't know is that some of the early episodes of the Trailer Park Boys were actually filmed there.
Oh, really?
So that's why when you see some of the characters, there's some people that can get identified with here in Forest Lawn. Now, that park got destroyed because it was sold, and then now it's the No Frills Shopping Center there at the supermarket. And so it's beautiful now. But that was a really huge change. So we've gone through all these changes. We've really improved the area. But in the last, I'd say most people put it at about 2 years, there's been a lot of backsliding in Forest Lawn. Crime or social disorder has really increased in the last couple of years. In fact, from 2017 to now, it's up about 8 times what it used to be.
What do you attribute to that?
You know, you'll hear me say this quite often, when an organization is doing well, it's leadership. And when an organization is not doing well, it's leadership. Okay. And so I point the finger right at that, you know, because at the same time, you know, yes, we've had COVID, but there's other parts of the city that have not had that increase. We've also had a poor economy, but then again, we've had a poor economy since 2015. So really, it's just about what the view is, or sometimes a lack of vision or a lack of follow through on what's going on. So a couple of really good examples that we've seen has been, there was an attempt to put a mobile drug injection site in the area. So it would spend half the day in East Village and half the day in Forest Lawn. Okay. Actually, and if you want to be really specific, it was more like in the Dover side of Forest Lawn. And just after we just finished spending $180 million redoing the whole avenue, and now we want to attract people for half the day to come and take their drugs and then wait for the mobile unit to come back again to inject them again. Because that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that, you know, the people who are taking these drugs are not necessarily just taking them once a day and then they go home.
I got my fix. There we go.
Well, that's the thing, right?
See you tomorrow, guys.
Yeah, well, we've got you fixed up. So the International Avenue BRZ acts as a zoning referee for the area. So the city of Calgary knew that. And when the provincial HIV people who were charged with putting the program together wanted to come to the area, they were told to talk to us first. So myself, I'm the secretary, the chairman also went, and then we also had another member of the board who was a veterinarian, which was interesting because of their medical thinking. The three of us, we went down to the counselor's office for the area. He loaned us an office to talk. And we just sat there and we wanted to listen to see what it is, because the three of us who went had never done drugs, you know, and were fortunate enough not to really understand what it's like to be hooked on them, you know, and I hope I'm never one of those people. And so we got to listen to doctors to say, okay, what is the problem? Why are they looking at doing this as a solution to the problem? And why are they picking our area? You know, so we just sat there, and I think the meeting was probably a good hour and a half, 2 hours. At the end of the meeting, three people from the International Avenue Board, we looked at each other, we said, we've got a major problem, because we can tell from the tone that it looks like they've already got the permission, or they feel that they've got the permission to do it. And at that point, then we knew that we had to not just be business people who were against it, we needed to get the community behind it as well. And so that's why we went to some of the stakeholders who are the presidents and vice presidents of certain communities that were going to be affected. And then we got them behind it as well. So we saw that. That was an attempt about, you know, 4 years ago. Then we've also seen where there's been a real influx of social services coming to the area. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with social services, you know, as long as they're run properly. But when you concentrate them too much in one area, then you're going to start to have an issue, right? And as a real estate agent, I'm in the middle of doing the more detailed statistics right now because of the campaign. But what I'm already finding in general is that properties that are adjacent to these social services, especially ones that have a history of problems, they tend to sell for less than properties that are even 500 meters or even 1 kilometer away. The reason why that's important is because value is usually a reflection of desirability of a neighborhood. And if it's in a desirable neighborhood, that means it's a great place to live. And so we also get our money in the city of Calgary, pretty much like the vast majority of our money comes in through property taxes. So if a property is worth less, we're going to be getting in less tax money too. And the social services, because they're charities, they don't pay tax. So not only are we having social services come in without paying tax, then we also have lower property taxes. We have also increased spending because now we have more social disorder. So that means bylaw gets called in more often and the police get called in more often as well. So again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with social services at all. They do a great job. They're very important to Calgary. And I would not change that at all. We rely very heavily on them because otherwise that would be another service that the city of Calgary has to pay. But concentrating everything automatically in Forest Lawn just because it's Forest Lawn, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I mean, if you look at Denver, Colorado, they have an issue of affordable housing because it's gotten expensive to live there. And so what they did is they said that there'll have to be a percentage of the whole city evenly distributed, that when you construct new lodgings, you have to have a certain amount of affordable housing as part of that project. And then that way it gets spread evenly throughout the city. And then, you know, you don't ghettoize a certain part of the city. So I think that it's just a matter of changing the viewpoint of what the area is. I know historically when you talk to people from the West, because I am from the West of Calgary, I was raised in Oak Ridge Estates, that historically we would look at Forest Lawn and say, oh, who cares? But we've got to stop thinking about those types of things because it's so close to downtown.
It's an amazing area, really. Like it is, it's, you know, not to step on you know, what you're saying, but it's, it's an amazing area. Like it's so close to downtown and accessibility is great. Even the community, older community, right? The people that do care for their homes, like really care for them. You know, it's, there's a certain local pride. You know, I grew up in Bowness a little bit and it was the same kind of thing, right? It was Bowness and Forest Lawn, you know.
Yeah, the number one bus.
Yeah. And they both kind of had some of the same stigma towards them, maybe Forest Lawn a little more so, but yeah, there's a bit of a pride that goes along with, yeah, I'm Bowness or I'm Forest Lawn. And so when I look at it, it should really come up, but I mean, not to ignore the problems that it has.
But some of the problems that we have today are not the problems we had even 3 years ago. We're now starting to have problems with homelessness. There was no homeless people. There's no Indigenous, and I don't mean Native Indians. I mean Indigenous people who are local to the area, homeless people. We did not have any people who were local homeless people in that area because everybody was only there because they lived there. They had a home. Okay. But now we're starting to see quite a few homeless people in the area. Well, why is that? Well, it's because they're getting driven out of East Village where the new condos are, and they're driving them up the hill to 17th Avenue.
And then you see them a little bit down Kensington Way as well, and up into even into Bridgeland. I remember I lived in Bridgeland a few years ago and had a buddy come visit me. I was like, yeah, come in, we'll get breakfast. And it's all trendy. And it was great. And he goes, where did you move? Right? What have you done, Ryan? What, you moved to the hood or the ghetto? And it's like, actually, speaking of which, now that I mentioned the ghetto and you kind of mentioned ghettoizing neighborhoods, someone who's a big supporter of Forest Lawn is Nick Ring. He was a UFC fighter. He was the first Calgarian to make it on to the Tough show, the UFC show. He probably would have won it if he didn't. He blew out his knee, though, I think.
Is he still in Calgary?
Yeah.
I would like to meet him, actually, if that's possible. Yeah, yeah. That'd be neat.
He loves Forest Lawn. Yeah. I think he does some investing in properties there. And
A lot of really great people come out of there. Like, have you ever heard of the restaurant Without Papers, WAP?
No, and they have POW now too, POW in Renfrew. That's where they have WAP and POW.
No. Okay. They went to Forest Lawn High School.
Oh, right? Cool.
Yeah, and then the people who founded Craft Brewery.
Yep.
They're from Forest Lawn High School too.
Oh, wow.
It's had a good history of really producing entrepreneurial people. I mean, just on International Avenue alone, because of all the people who are from other countries, they have over 421 businesses along that strip that we represent. And that's just International Avenue. Then you got First Ave Northeast, which is Bridgeland. Then you got Memorial Drive South Side, right? And then you've also got 9th Avenue, which is where all Inglewood is and all that. Then McLeod Trail. Like, you've got a lot of commercial people around that area, which is really interesting because the incumbent who I'm running against, he's been on the city council for 10 years. And recently we also had a situation where we needed to pull out monies out of the savings account for Calgary so that the commercial taxes didn't have to go up. And when they did that, it's the councillor for that area that voted against it. Yeah. And so for me, I'm very pro-business. And it's because I understand that these businesses are led by people who live in the area. They use vendors of the area. They have staff who also live in the area. So if we take care of the businesses, we take care of everybody.
Exactly. I'm a huge supporter of small business. And that's probably one of the reasons why I started doing this. I also find that with small business, you get a sense of community. You not only get the speciality of, like, so you have Joe's shoe store, who when you walk in, he'll take a look at how you're walking and be like, oh, no, you want to buy this shoe instead of this shoe, even though maybe the more expensive shoe, I'd love to sell you the more expensive shoe, but this one here that's, you know, $20 cheaper, you want this one because it's going to be better for you. And you lose that speciality when you go to like Amazon's and stuff like that, or even Walmart's Wally World, whatever.
I'm sure they're so upset at you now.
Yeah, they're so upset at me. They're never going to advertise on my podcast. But then you also lose that sense of community where it's like, hey, I went in and seen Vince at this place and that place. Yeah, it's.
So on the east side of the Ring Road from 17th Avenue, right, we have a huge development there too. And that was one of the concerns. It's one of the reasons why we chose, when we chose to activate the redevelopment plan for 17th Avenue, because we knew that if we didn't get that avenue in a better shape, then people would just stop at the Ring Road there and then go around Forest Lawn. They wouldn't come in anymore. And I mean, there's actually a bus tour that you can take on a monthly, when COVID's done, that is called the Around the World Bus Tour. And what they do is they take you along in Forest Lawn on a bus tour to different restaurants or to different shops so that you can experience the different cultures that are embodied in that avenue, right? And it's a really cool tour. If you haven't done it, you need to. But you have to book at least a couple months early because it's always sold out. And it's people from a whole area that are learning, oh, you mean I can go to this Indonesian little shop here and then really kind of experience it. And then what they do is just like any other bus tour, that if you were in another country, you know, the shop owner will come out and show you their wares and you get to test different things. It's a really fun tour. You should try it. That's what makes the area special. Your family is a small business family too, right? And I mean, you know, you guys have got Canuck Amusements, right?
Yeah. So we have Canuck Amusements and it's a long line of self-employed. I've been self-employed in several different ventures, you know, along with my family and in Canuck Amusements and then DJ company. And my father's a serial entrepreneur, anywhere from teaching piano to these crazy board games, publishing, you know, like all sorts of different
things. Oh, really? Yeah. Board games too, eh?
Oh, okay. So he had this board game. This is all about you, but we'll take 2 minutes here. He created this Waterloo board game. He's a big, like, Napoleonic era, huge military guy, like loves, like, you know, anything to do with military stuff. But anyway, he created this thing. It took up his whole basement, basically. And what it was like the top of the board was like pegboard. So it was all these holes.
Okay.
And then you see those little miniature soldiers and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. He had hand painted all like thousands of these things. So he had cuirassiers and fusiliers and lancers and he had like little couple little towns and he reinvented the Battle of Waterloo. So yeah, it's either your French or your English side, right? And you would do this. And the importance of having, and they had all the fake grass and like the, you know, it's like really sparse kind of like fake grass stuff. And, but underneath it all, on each peg hole was a tube that went from the top of the table down to like the side, out to the sides of the tables. And you'd kind of, it was sort of like that whole role-playing thing and so many rolls of the dice and, man, you could move so forward and all this and all these rules to it. But then...
Did it run kind of like Risk?
Kind of like Risk, yeah. Okay, and so yeah. when you did like a... So then if you wanted to do like a cannon shot over to somebody else, you would kind of coordinate it out and you'd go to one of these tubes that are at the side of the table and you have a bicycle pump. And you did a pump. And it was also filled with a little bit of baby powder. So it would like puff, it would puff up. Yeah, it was the craziest.
That's cool.
And he just... ideas out his ass, this guy. He's so crazy. Like, he's one of the most creative people I know. But yeah, it was super cool.
When I was growing up, we always played Monopoly, and so I love Monopoly. I still play Monopoly to this day. I mean, I've been teaching my sons how to play it now. We made a board game called Monopoly Plus, and so it was like you would have the normal properties, but then you get into premium properties on the interior and then and then all these different things. It was like a mega game.
Red tones. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you live up in Malin Heights, and that was interesting because one of the people we were speaking to recently said, why is it that Southview doesn't get the same values on their property that Malin Heights does?
Malin Heights, I think, and I don't know what it is either, but I think that it is because it is bordered by Barlow and Memorial and 16th Avenue, it is almost like forced to be like a little island of its own.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's
but when you think about it, Southview has better views. Southview, right? It's got very similar views that Crescent Heights has.
McKinnon. Right. And you have like those views are really great. Those yeah. Like you have the whole city view.
Yeah, but they sell for over 100,000 more than Southview.
But also not bordering on to Deerfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they're a little bit further up, so you don't get some of the road noise.
The key is that they're not on 17th Ave.
Yeah.
Right? But no, but that's what I'm saying. True. Like it's just that's honestly I think what it's come down to is just people have this image.
Well, and one of the nicest parks there is in Dover.
Yeah, Valley View Park, yeah.
I used to play soccer there quite often with the Calgary Sport and Social Club, and they had to have their beach volleyball going. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's, I know. Isn't that crazy? It's beautiful beach volleyball.
Yeah, very enjoyable to go watch some days.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
We were over there with our crew. We had about 12 of us all cleaning up the park, and... You know, so I got to check out Valley View Park and the beach volleyball, like the sand is beautiful and all the nets are top notch. And you're looking at this going, holy smokes, this is city class, right? And yet still not as used as it would have been if it was located in the Southwest. That thing would never, ever be vacant.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I always look at it and think, yeah, it's so underutilized and it's undervalued, right? It's just that whole area is very undervalued. Now, saying that, we've spent a lot of time on Forest Lawn. On the opposite side, let's take a look at Inglewood. You got Inglewood, Bridgeland, Renfrew.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, inner city area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you got the original starting point of Calgary was Fort Calgary, which is Inglewood, and then Ramsey, right? So Inglewood, Ramsey is really where Calgary began. And so, again, it's really interesting because you're going through a renewal and all these different things. And now we're hoping that we can take that BRT that we just created, the Busted Rapid Transit, and now turn that into a C-train line in that area, right? It's supposed to be the Green Line. We'll see. That whole project has been thrown up in the air because of cost overrun that they didn't realize when they first planned it. But again, I mean, it's kind of crazy that we can't just have transparency and clarity on projects, right? And I get that when you're doing a major project, it's quite common to have a little bit of a cost overrun because there's some things that, I mean, if you do a renovation on your own basement, a lot of times you'll have a bit of a cost overrun. I get it.
If you planned a year ago to do a renovation on your basement, what are you going to be at least 1.5 times today, right? Just with because of inflation, like the price of particle board, even, right? Or, you know, the price of lumber, the price of copper.
Yeah, but again, you should have more buying power when you're the city too. It's just about how you plan things out and how you execute them. So it's been interesting because some of the people who know that I'm running, they say, oh yeah, that city council, they're horrible. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Not everything they've done has been bad. But one of the things that I think that they've done a very poor job of is communicating effectively and marketing what they're doing to the city of Calgary. You know, most people don't understand what they're doing. And if people don't understand, I mean, you're in real estate. If they don't understand what they're buying, what's the first answer they're going to give you? No.
No. Yeah, not a chance. Yeah.
Right? I don't understand this house. I don't understand why I'm paying that price. So I'm not going to buy it. Right? So your job as a realtor, because you're on commission, is to be very motivated to convey things very accurately and timely. So then that way people can make a clear choice and then you get paid at the end of it, right?
To help people make their decision, and knowledge is power, right? And by having that knowledge and being able to convey it to your clients.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, so as we've been doing the campaign, I've also, you know, of course, because I am pro small business, I've been telling people even on our website that we are, you know, that I'm a member of BNI, Business Network International, and that some of those concepts of givers gain are part of how I'm even running my campaign and how we're going to run when we're in the office, right? And so I think that that would be great because now we have an organization in Calgary that's been there for quite a while. BNI has been in Calgary for about 20 years-ish, right? And I've been a member now for 12. You know, it'd be nice to have someone in City Hall who understands this. Because see, in City Hall, you really don't have a lot of people who have been self-employed, and you certainly don't have people who have been in real estate. And so they're making decisions about real estate, which is all about, you know, taxes. And they have no idea what they're, you know, I mean, they have some idea, but a lot of times they're looking at it.
Personal opinion.
Exactly. And they don't have the experience. And so again, when you haven't ever had to balance a business checkbook, you know, it becomes difficult to comprehend why other people are upset about you not doing it for the city.
Definitely a good skill set that you have going into it. Saying that brings me to sort of like the how portion of where we're at in this.
Oh, man, you're going to call me out. Oh, no.
You're going to call me out.
No, not
so much how you're going to do things, but like how are you going to run a campaign? Now, we mentioned at the beginning of this how most people don't understand, you know, like city politics. I mean, I don't want to say, even myself, I'm a little ignorant towards it and what an alderman does exactly. And it's a nonpartisan kind of position. I mean, you're going to have your own, you're going to vote for people that you vote for federally and whatnot. But how do you take something that's very generally like where people don't even know who their alderman is on a day-to-day basis to running for this position, and how do you market yourself, basically, is what I'm getting to.
Very good question. We've got a campaign manager. His name is Jean Darius, and he is the owner of KPI Staffing. So he's a professional recruiter. So he reaches out to several businesses. And then on top of that, he owns a social media company. And I think with COVID, social media is going to be extremely important now, more than ever before, because some of the door knocking and reaching out and shaking hands is going to get curtailed this year dramatically. So there's the social media aspect that we're really relying heavily on. Also, I want my campaign that no matter what happens, win or lose, that just by me running has made it better for the people of the area. So one of the ways that we've done that is we've started our own podcast called the Ward 9 Legacy Podcast. It's unique because no other wards in Calgary have a podcast. And so what we're going to do is we're going to continue to run it. We've got 4 episodes that are going to be launched on June 18th. And then every 2 weeks after that, there'll be updates, not just on the campaign, but we're going to be meeting businesses in the area. We're going to be meeting community leaders and explaining what Ward 9 has to offer so that the rest of Calgary can make a choice and go, whoa, wow, I didn't even know what Ward 9 was. And I didn't know what they even had. So maybe I should go check out that restaurant. Maybe I should go out and get some of those clothing from the Indonesian store, all those types of things. And so then they can start to understand, because I think it always begins with just understanding. So social media is a huge one. The podcast is going to be I call it a legacy podcast because win or lose, we will pass it on to the office of Ward 9 so that they can continue to use it as a way of communicating every 2 weeks directly with Ward 9 residents and the rest of the city of Calgary. So that's one thing that we're doing. The other part is that it's door knocking. There's still going to be door knocking and we're going to be putting signs up. I mean, it's just like in real estate, you know, you can put a bus bench and it's powerful. But what's more powerful is when you have your sign on someone's lawn saying for sale. That person decided to use you and is basically telling everybody else, use Ryan Phelan from REMAX Complete Realty, right? Absolutely. No, I mean, I've known you for a long time. You're a very good realtor. And I even saw when you started, you used to work on a team and now you're working on your own, right? Yeah. So you've gone through a huge evolution. You've been in business now for, I think, 12 years? Are you 12 years now?
12, 13, yeah.
12 or 13 years, yeah. You know, that's the same thing, right? Is those lawn signs are going to be key. Now, in order to do that, it takes money. Right. And, you know, so we are looking for donations because what's really interesting about local politics here, as opposed to down the States, is that the person who's running is only allowed to spend $10,000 of their money and then they're tapped out. They're not allowed to spend any more. The purpose of that is to prevent someone from just coming in and buying their seat. Because the idea is with democracy, it's not just votes, it's money to get the votes. So if people are not going to follow you, maybe you're not the leader, right? And so the other thing is that people are allowed to, you know, to donate as little as $1, and they're allowed to donate as maximum of $5,000 per person. And it has to be through them personally, not through their corporation. So in the United States, corporations are considered individuals by the Supreme Court. Here, corporations are not considered individuals under the law. They are for tax purposes, but not under the law. So you can't just start donating unlimited amounts of money. So it forces, you know, if you're going to have about $100,000, $120,000 to run, you know, you can now do the math of how many people need to start donating for us to get signs up, pay for social media, pay for food and drinks for volunteers, for t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's incredible. It adds up real quick. That's how we're doing it on the ground game. And then when we get into City Hall, City Council has a total of 13 votes, including the mayor. And what's also different is that the mayor in Calgary is not the CEO or president like they are in other levels of government. They're one vote equal to everybody else, but they do chair the meeting, which is a little bit different. So, you know, even if you're not in Ward 9, but you want to have a city councilor that you resonate with, it still helps to receive their money. So that way you can ensure that they get, you know, you have someone who's like-minded in another ward that will be voting on things that you may care about in the future. So, because if you only have one city councilor in the whole city that follows what you like, well, then it's going to be very tough to get your agenda moved through, right? So if you do agree with certain people around the city, you know, you're good to, I would highly recommend donating to a variety of candidates to make sure that those are the candidates that win around the city of Calgary so that you get a city that you like.
Kind of touched on something there. There's a new mayor coming too this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Mayor Nahidnenshi, he's been there for a long, long time. And he's decided that it's time for him to hang it up, and he's decided not to run again. And that's why you're going to see a lot more voter turnout this time. You're going to see a lot more candidates this time as well, because anytime the incumbent decides not to run, everybody wants to throw their hat in the ring.
Yeah. Any predictions on that one?
Honestly, I'm asked that almost every day now. And I mean, even on our team for, for my campaign, they've all asked, like, you know, should we align ourselves with somebody? Who do you think is going to win? And I said, you know what? Personally, because of what I do professionally as a business broker and commercial realtor here in Calgary, I will work with anybody that wins. And that is 100% my commitment. It baffles me some of the stories that I've heard that when we as a BRZ have said, well, why don't we try this out? And then the answer to me is, oh, well, that counselor doesn't get along with this counselor and this. And these are multi-million dollar decisions that are the right decision for Calgary. But because of personal grievances amongst each other, they squabble like children. That just blows my mind. As a commercial agent, as a realtor in Calgary, there are times where I don't like the agent across the table. There are times where I don't like the other client across the table. And there are even times where I don't even like my own client. Okay. And yet I still have to put those personal feelings aside to get the deal done. And that's why, so whoever runs for mayor, I will absolutely work with them and we'll work very effectively. I mean, I can't even handicap because you've got three well-known first term city councilors that are deciding to not run for city council in their wards, and now they're running for mayor. So you've got Jody Gondick, you've got Davison, and you've got Jeremy Farkas, right? And they've all spent one term as ward councilors, and now they're all running. So at best, only one of them can win the mayor, right? And then you've got other people. You've got Jan Grace, who's a realtor here in Calgary as well. And you've got a variety. You even have someone who has been criminally charged now, who's, it takes all kinds to run and create an interesting, election. But I honestly, usually we have some pretty good indications as to who might win for mayor. I have no idea. I have no idea. Like, it's a complete blank for me. But at the same time, I'm not too worried about it. I keep my head down and just run my race because I have to win my my seat.
Yeah, that's the best thing. That's what they say. Just, put your head down and just, focus on you.
Exactly.
You can't change what anybody else is doing if you focus on you. But I mean, at the same time, I do like what you had to say about it's teamwork, right? Together, everybody achieves more. And that's, I think, that's a very important part of any kind of politics. And it's like, I'm hoping that with everything that's been going on the last few years, the people kind of start to realize that, hey, working together, regardless of parties, that's where we have to be, right?
And it's so crucial because I think to some degree, we've been lucky in Calgary that we've been able to avoid some of the Americanization, is what I call it, the tribalism that we all start labeling people but it's creeping into here. It's creeping in. But I'm glad for the most part, we're still not hugely into it. I spoke with the head of the police union, Mr. John Orr, and he and I had about a 1-hour conversation, and it was a really tough conversation for me to have because I could hear in his voice the passion that he has for the city, but then I could also hear in his voice the level of disappointment and how they feel betrayed by the leadership of the city, because now, in his own words, he said, if you it doesn't matter how you play the game, no matter how you play the game as a police officer, you're gonna get slapped somehow. Then really the only choice for some people is to just not even play the game. And so we now are supposed to have 2,200 police officers in Calgary. We are at 2,000 right now and dropping because the morale is so low on the police force and they can't replace them fast enough. Which is really dangerous when you think about it, because now certain parts of the city have 25 to 30% less police officers on the ground than they're supposed to have. And you wonder why we have more social disorder or more crime. That's a big part of it too. Even though we have the budget for 2,200 police officers, we can't attract the talent, and that's because some of them are, some of the American news that has come in and some people are jumping on them. And that includes the city councilor who is head of their committee, who has been very public about some of their views on the police here in Calgary. What I told Mr. Orr at the end of that meeting, I really appreciate your time. I also am very disappointed, and it's been very hard to hear the pain in your voice, because at the end of the day, I don't look at you as a police officer. I look at you as a Calgarian who feels disrespected and unimportant and marginalized. And I said, it's no different than if you were a homeless person or if you were of some race that felt that you were marginalized. You're feeling just as marginalized, which is sad because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And so you've got to have people who get in there who stop wanting to oversimplify things and label people because they just don't like what you have to say.
I know some people that work directly with the police, and it is tough, and the morale is down, and you can't paint anybody with the same brush, right? Why is it, all cops are this or that, right? It's totally crazy in my opinion, and I could see, that reflecting in their numbers, and then, conversely, in crime stats.
Well, one of the things that they did is the city of Calgary chose to spend $8 million on an anti-racism department, like a formal department in the police force. Okay. Now that is really bothering a lot of the leadership of the police, because by spending $8 million on an anti-racism department is basically a direct inferral that you have such a problem with racism on your police force that you now need a formal department, and we need to spend $8 million on it. They don't claim that there's no racism. Like there's no claims of that at all.
There's jerks everywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, the city of Calgary, when they've polled the average Calgarian on their satisfaction with the police, on historically is usually around 93% say that they like the police. Yeah. I mean, what other city do you ever see that? I mean, at its worst, it was in the 70s.
It's a hard job, man, because, you know what, even law-abiding citizen Ryan, I like to think I'm rebellious, but law-abiding citizen Ryan, I freak out when there's a cop behind me driving behind me. Like I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it's a natural thing, but it's like to be that person in that job where it's like people are always stressed out when they see you. No one's ever phoning you to say, hey, you know, come to our barbecue. It's always come because, you know, it's an abuse situation. We're being robbed. We're being assaulted. Right. So the cops are always coming in at the worst, right? The worst time. And yeah, that's a hard job as it is.
It is hard. I mean, my wife is a registered nurse at the South Campus Hospital, and she's a COVID nurse. So every day she sees people who are sick and dying. And so sometimes I've noticed that affects her when she comes home, because she'll say, oh, you could end up, you know, like you might just have a slight cough. Oh, it could be this and this and this. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Or it could just be a cough.
Yeah.
You know, but 100% of the people I see at the hospital are sick. I said, yes, but you got to consider where you are. You're at the hospital.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
So, and I could imagine that would be very similar for police, right? Because they get to see, you know, people at their worst. You know, I mean, some of the work that we've done in real estate is we've worked with, you know, a lot of foreclosures and trustees and things like that. And yeah, we see people at their worst financially. And we have to, you know, kind of hold their hand. We have to empathize as best we can, but we've got to keep them focused on getting back to safety.
So if you were to leave Calgarians with one word upon closing off the podcast here, what would you tell them? What would you, some advice to give them to go out and vote?
Well, that would be my advice is to absolutely get out and vote. And if you know that you're going to vote, then just take even an hour of time. You can go on the City of Calgary website. If you Google, you go Calgary election, October 2018, it'll take you to the wards. Click on what ward you're in. If you don't know, you can type your address in, it'll tell you. And then just quickly peruse who those candidates are. It doesn't take a long time. Most of them have websites. We do. We're www.johnwilliamwade.ca. And then you'll get to see our platform, our photos, and what we're up to. All the other candidates are the same. And get a little bit informed, because not only is it your right to vote, it's your responsibility to vote. It just shocks me that there's people in countries in the world who are dying to be able to vote, literally dying to be able to vote. And then we're here and we're dying not to vote.
Yeah. Do you have a campaign slogan?
We do. It's John William Wade, your Ward 9 city councilor candidate. We're here to listen and to serve.
Nice. I like it. Okay, so go there, vote for John William Wade, and that is on, do we know the date?
October 18th of 2021, so we've got just over four months.
Okay, look for his signs, and go see some independent shops in Forest Lawn, International Avenue, Inglewood.
And Inglewood, yeah. Bridgeland. And then Bridgeland, yeah, absolutely. Support the local shops, they need it more than now than they've ever needed it before.
All right on. Okay, John, thank you very much. And until next time, stay epic.
Thanks again for listening to Epic Phelan. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Ryan Phelan. And visit my website at thecalgaryrealestateguy.com. Until next time, stay epic.